איך שנסתכל על זה ונסתכל כן פעמיים. היום זורם זורם כמו אתמול, כמו שלשום, וזה אותו כחול גדול, אותו עוף בשמיים, אותו עלה של זית אל מחר נוטה ליפול.
This is Dr. Ali Evans welcoming you to Light on Health, a show where we shine the light on a full spectrum of topics that affect your health and that of our entire community. My guest today is Dr. Jackie Shannon. Jackie is phoning in from Bend, Oregon, and she is a physician of public health and specifically a nutritionist epidemiologist, which we will have her define for you what that actually means. But I'm happy to have Dr. Shannon online. Are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. It's a small miracle.
Oh, wow. We made it work.
Yes. And before we get started, I was telling Jackie yesterday, it just warms my heart to have you on because this show was a show that was pioneered by a dear friend, Ann Goldine. Ann has since passed away from cancer. I inherited this, which was kind of her baby. And every time we talk about cancer and specifically sort of what can be done and what, you know, what healing energy can we put out there with it, I just think about her and think she'd be really happy to hear your voice on the radio today. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Do you want to give us a little kind of intro of just who you are, what you're doing, and what nutritional epidemiology is, and then we'll kind of talk about the project that's happening.
Sure. So as you already said, I'm Jacqueline Shannon, or Jackie Shannon is what I go by. I have a PhD, not an MD, and I am trained as a nutritional epidemiologist. Essentially what that means is I look at the role of diet in disease prevention. So you can look at diet in a lot of different ways with chronic disease, but I specifically look at the role that diet plays in cancer prevention. So that is essentially what I do as a nutritional epidemiologist. My position has changed over the years at OHSU from being kind of a classic researcher that does clinical trials and large population studies into the director of a lot of the programs that we have in community outreach, research, and engagement. So I currently am associate director for our Knight Cancer Institute's community outreach and engagement program, as well as our Clinical and Translational Research Institute's community outreach and engagement. And hence, that's why I'm here in Bend, Oregon. We have a community research hub here in Bend and spend a lot of our time now looking at a lot of different ways that OHSU can work with our communities to best support them in utilizing research and other approaches in addressing their health-related concerns.
And people, our listeners, are familiar with the Knight Institute because we have a brand new cancer center that is kind of a commingled Columbia Memorial Hospital with OHSU Knight Cancer Center. So that name is familiar, but some listeners might not know that it's beyond just Astoria, that it also is an institute that's throughout Oregon.
Yes.
Yeah. And one of the things that is happening locally, which I think is really exciting for the listeners to know, is a project called the Healthy Oregon Project, which is not just local, but throughout the state of Oregon. However, and we'll get into this, but Clatsop County is the first community that you're piloting the study in. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yes.
We've done smaller pilots at Oregon Health and Science University and on the Nike campus, but Clatsop is our first rollout to a community.
So tell us about the project, and then we'll talk about how local people can get involved and kind of what it serves to do for cancer going forward and cancer prevention, and also for individuals if they want to be involved in the study.
Sure. So I'm going to give you kind of two answers to what is Healthy Oregon Project. The first is really our standard answer of what it is, and then I want to tell you a little bit more about kind of what makes it special and unique. So in a nutshell, the Healthy Oregon Project is a research study, as you were saying, and it's designed to try and support the health and wellness of Oregonians We combine genetic cancer screening with surveys about a person's environment, their behaviors, and lifestyle. And we're doing this to help understand health risks and things that may both increase a person's risk of getting multiple diseases. Initially, we're looking at cancer, as well as what are the healthy behaviors and what can we learn about what people are doing that's healthy. So that's kind of our short answer.
Yep.
And the longer answer that makes Healthy Oregon Project somewhat unique in the field of research is that this isn't just about collecting a bunch of information from you all, from participants or from residents across the state. It's about providing information back as well. And so the very first research question we have is to try and understand the population level prevalence, so how many people have particular genetic mutations that place them at very high risk of cancer. So we want to understand that, but we're not just going to collect people's DNA and store this for our research purposes, but we're also providing that information back to anybody who participates in this study. So people get their results back, and that's pretty novel in research in general. And then it goes beyond that because I said, you know, as I said, we're doing a lot of surveys as well. We want to learn more than just genetics. We want to stay engaged with people over a long period of time and learn from them about different aspects of their life and their lifestyles and their behaviors. So things like their diet and their sleep patterns and their stress and their physical activity. So we can look at not just how do genetics contribute to cancer risk, but how about these other variables and how do they impact cancer risk? And anytime anyone completes that information, they also get information back. And so they get feedback on from each of those surveys on kind of how they're doing and things they may want to consider to improve the particular aspects of their life.
And
so that's one thing that makes it kind of unique. And the other thing is that this is really a project that we're trying to do in collaboration with a lot of other institutions around Oregon. So recognizing that we're wanting to recruit and talk with people across the state, and it's a really heavy lift. And so we're actually doing this in collaboration with other groups like University of Oregon, the OHSU-PSU School of Public Health, Kaiser Permanente with Providence. So other groups are participating with us on this project, and then we'll also be looking for a lot of volunteers, folks from your community, to help us out as well.
And something else to point out, which I think can be quite unique in medical research and you know, any of the research, is that the research isn't being funded by a pharmaceutical company. It's funded by CDER, is what you told me, right? That tell us a little bit about who's funding it.
Sure. So right now it's entirely funded through CDER, which is our the Knight Cancer Institute's Center for Early Detection Advanced Research. And so CDER is really funding what we call our driver project, our first big project around understanding prevalence of genetic mutations. And so the dollars are coming in that way. We're also looking and wanting to obtain support from different funding agencies through the federal government, but we are not funded through a pharmaceutical industry and are really not looking for funding from those types of directions.
And would you say I know this is probably summarizing a really large goal into one, but kind of what's the point? What's the goal of the study? What's the elevator pitch?
Elevator pitch. I tried to do an elevator pitch. Did it not go on enough? The elevator pitch is we want to understand what can help keep Oregonians healthy. What mm-hmm. What can we do? What can we learn about what are risk factors for diseases in Oregon, and what are things, behaviors and lifestyles and genetics that protect individuals. And then we can ultimately begin to develop programs that can be put into place that can help people change those behaviors, or perhaps policies that can be implemented to impact some of the behaviors or the lifestyles. And even ensuring that we have policies around that really protect people that are maybe at high genetic risk for different diseases. So kind of our ultimate goal is to use this to, as I said, promote health and wellness among Oregonians.
Yeah. And something I talk about with my patients a lot, especially when we're talking about genetic or inherited cancer risk. So when you're talking about breast and ovarian cancer or the colorectal cancer, is this idea that we have our genetic blueprint and that our genes are not going to change, but that we can influence how loudly those genes turn on or turn off. Kind of, the, you know, some people have heard the idea of epigenetics. So what goes on top of genetics to determine how the genes express themselves? I love this study because it's looking at that. It's looking at what are the lifestyle pieces that people, whether or not they carry these genes with an increased cancer risk, like people have, you know, heard about BRCA1 and BRCA2. If you have these genes, obviously your risk is higher, but where is the power in the individual to be able to turn the volume up or down on those genes? So I love that idea.
Yeah, and being able to capture the data around different, particularly dietary factors, but also lifestyle factors like stress, can help us understand more about how much can we turn up the expression on some of these genes, turn up how loudly they function. And then also, you know, for the genes we're looking at, we're being very careful to screen for genes where we have known kind of changes in clinical care. So we're not going to screen for something that you can't do anything about. We're screening for things that we know how and what you should do in terms of changing your screening behaviors, maybe having mammograms starting earlier or colonoscopies starting earlier in your life or considering prophylactic surgery, things that that there are options should you screen positive for these genes.
And something that is embedded in the study is if participants do test positive for some of these genetic markers, you do have genetic counselors. And you were even saying a patient navigator. So there's lots of support to help. You know, let's say I signed up for it and lo and behold, I come up with BRCA1 mutation. It's the participant isn't left in the dark. They have a navigator and they have a genetic counselor and they have the support to be empowered to then know what to do with that information.
Yep, exactly. And I think that's some of the, I think it can be really scary for people if you do receive a positive genetic screen. And so making sure that people have access to genetic counseling, making sure that they have access to this patient navigator. This is, again, something pretty unusual in this study. This is a full-time individual who's really there to pick up the phone and help people navigate questions around insurance, questions around follow-up care, help make sure that they do get in touch with that genetic counselor if they've had problems doing that. So we're really trying to support the individual as much as we can. We also have right there locally, we have a research liaison. We have liaisons across the state who also will have knowledge about this project and can be somebody on the ground that can talk to folks whether they screen positive or not. Sometimes screening negative can bring up as many questions.
Right. And I wanted to point that out for our listeners that this is not just if you know you have or carry a mutation, that the study is for, it's trying to get a slice of the entire population.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, that's really important because we can't describe the prevalence, the likelihood of a person having a mutation if we don't know how many people don't have a mutation.
Yeah.
So that's really important. It's also really important that these, you know, genetic mutations, these particular heritable mutations are not very common. And so there's a whole lot of other folks out there that, you know, want to know what is their risk of cancer and what can they do. And that's where a lot of these things around behaviors and lifestyles and environment can come into play, that there's all kinds of other things that can increase or reduce our risk of cancer that we're trying to learn about through this project.
For the listeners out there, we're speaking with Dr. Jackie Shannon, who is part of the Healthy Oregon Project, and we're talking about the research study that's about to kick off in Clatsop County. So tell us, tell us, sort of walk us through for anyone who's interested and who's listening in Clatsop County. Start us from the beginning, and how do people get involved, and what will it look like? And I know people are probably wondering, do they need to donate half their blood, or is it a saliva test? So walk us through sort of what it looks like to be engaged and what's going to happen.
Sure. So our goal is to make this as easy as possible. So there's a number of different ways that you can engage with the project. If you're interested in it, you can simply start by going to our website. So that's just www.healthyoregonproject.org, and read about it. There is an app. So if you want to just sign up on your own, you can search in the App Store for Healthy Oregon Project and download the app, or find the link on our website and download the app, and it'll walk you through a consent process, a few short survey questions, and then it will tell you how to contribute a salivary sample if you'd like to do the genetic screening portion.
And let's make sure everyone heard that. There's no blood involved. It's a saliva
test.
There
is no blood involved, unless we do a follow-on study later and you get to choose.
Yes.
But right now, to do this, you do not have to provide any blood. You don't have to go to a clinic. You really don't even have to talk to anyone if you don't want to. You can, if you sign up through the app and choose to provide a salivary sample and you don't want to go talk to any of our wonderful staff, you can actually find a vending machine. And we're going to be putting very soon, I believe in the next week, a vending machine at Sunset Empire Parks and Rec. And we'll have two other locations around Clatsop County where you can actually put in your code, and it will, just like a candy bar, it'll drop down a little kit that you take the mouthwash, you swish it around in your mouth, and you spit it back in the tube, you close it back into the kit, and you drop it back in the machine, and then scan your code again. And that essentially is all you need to do. And from that point forward, we would be engaging with you about the results of your genetic screen, and we'd also be reaching out to you about other surveys that you might want to complete to learn about yourself and to provide additional information.
And
so that's one way to participate. But if you like people and you want to chat with some folks and ask them questions live and in person, we are having what we call tabling events. So we will be at the farmers market, the Sunday market. I believe we're going every other week, so we were not there last Sunday. We'll either be there next Sunday or the following Sunday, and you can look on the website and get the exact dates.
And does your table say Healthy Oregon Project? Is that how people would know it's you?
It does. It's
okay.
Got a big red awning, and it says Healthy Oregon Project on there. It has what we call a hop spot, so it's a big red spot that has hop written in the middle of it.
Okay.
And you can come there and talk with some of our volunteers and staff about how to download the app, how to put it on your phone, and then actually just provide the salivary sample right there if you want to participate in that way. So you have some options.
And so people, they sign up, they provide the sample. What's kind of the turnaround time, and about, you know, when would they expect that they might be looking at some of the results and maybe having some support or counseling or whatever is kind of the next step? What's roughly the turnaround time?
So right now we're estimating the turnaround time, and I'm hesitating because we're working on our volume as
you
we
can
go.
Give us a very big range. Is it like
I will give you
a
very
year,
big range,
2 years, a couple months?
Yeah, it would be a couple months to 4 months.
Got it.
So it doesn't happen super quick. And part of this is because we need to make sure that we do this right.
Yes.
So the samples come in, they get processed, they get analyzed, and then we get the information back to you.
And this, I don't know if we already said this, I'm thinking it in my head, but it's entirely free to the participant, correct?
Absolutely. Yep.
Including the patient navigation and the genetic counseling, kind of all the steps that are embedded are free?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything is free. There is no cost to the participant.
Okay. And a question that I'm sure I'm going to hear is the difference between kind of this information versus those who have done 23andMe studies or other salivary genetic tests.
Yeah. So this information is going to look, it's parts of it are going to be really similar. 23andMe gives a lot of other information that we won't be giving back. I'm not entirely positive, but I don't believe 23andMe is currently, or they have just begun doing some of this screening for the cancer mutations. But they do not provide the genetic counseling like we do, and they're not a they don't provide any kind of these local resources to sort of follow up with an individual. So, yeah. You know, 23andMe is great if you just want to put your information out there, get a whole bunch of results back on lots of different things, like, you know, whether you take sulfur and broccoli and
exactly.
eye color and these kinds of things. Some disease mutations, but they're not great for really working with you as an individual and providing you support based upon those results. That's not what they're for.
Right.
But that is something we really want to do.
And the benefit to kind of the greater good and the greater community is that for the Oregonians, you're really looking at what's, you know, maybe the national average is 5 to 10% of cancers are inherited. What is it in Oregon? And how do we kind of on a statewide scale shift that health and that balance and maybe even lower, you know, we're not going to lower the genetics, but lower the disease rates.
Well, that's ultimately what we hope. I mean, the way we currently generally do genetic screening, and so I'm just going to focus on the genetics part right now, but currently how we do genetic screening is if somebody is at high risk for having a genetic mutation, and that's based on an algorithm that a doctor will look at that takes into account kind of your family history based on your parents and your grandparents and what age they were diagnosed with different cancers. And if based on that survey, it looks like you're at higher risk, then a genetic screen will take place. But for a lot of people, we don't have a really good understanding of what is our family history. We don't know, you know, oh, my grandmother had breast cancer and she was 52 when she was diagnosed with her breast cancer. We just know grandma died. We're not even completely sure what our parents died of or our grandparents died of. And so that screening is sometimes missing, or the idea is that we might be missing some of the people that have these mutations, and then therefore they're not receiving the kind of care that would be appropriate to ensure that they, if they do develop cancer, they're diagnosed early and then can receive early treatment and survive their cancer.
And beyond the initial sort of here's your results and if there's any counseling needed, we do that. Can the participants expect anything else going forward? I know you had talked about from this data, there can be lots of other questions raised. For example, you know, could we look at the role of cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and kale and the effect on the you know, the microbiome and how that affects the disease presentation? Would participants expect that they're sort of in the loop with the research as it goes down the line?
Oh, absolutely. Participants can hear from us as much or as little as they'd like. We hope that they'll all want to hear from us a whole lot. So the way we've set this up is we're not going to inundate anybody with, you know, 1.5 hours of surveys all at one time. We're going to be sending out surveys in little snippets. So you'll get a survey 1 week that says, tell us about your cruciferous vegetable intake. And you can choose to complete that survey, and then it'll give you some information back about that. And the next week, you might get another survey that says, we're interested in learning about stress. You can complete a survey about stress and learn about how your personal and workplace stress may impact your health. And people can choose to complete that. And with that information, we're working with a lot of different researchers who will be wanting to explore different questions. So one of the ones that you and I were talking about yesterday is this possible question around cruciferous vegetable intake, and does the cruciferous vegetable intake impact your microbiome, and does that maybe impact your risk of colorectal cancer? So reducing your colorectal cancer risk by working together with the microbiome and then impacting how likely you are to develop cancer. So thinking about different types of prevention studies, and every time we do one of these, anyone who's enrolled in the Healthy Oregon Project will be sent information about those studies. If it requires collecting something new, like a new survey, or if it requires getting a fecal sample so that you can be screened for colorectal cancer risk, they have the opportunity to then re-consent or consent to this new additional study and provide additional information. So everyone will have those opportunities moving forward. And that's actually one of the things that I find most exciting about this is we're creating an opportunity now so that we can think about really novel questions and begin to bring those out to people that live in the state really rapidly so that people can participate. And it's not all just sitting in one location right next to the university, but it's for everyone to participate in if they want to.
And so before we run out of time, tell the listeners one more time just where they start to get involved.
So if you'd like to get involved as a participant, I would recommend that you go to our website, thehealthyoregonproject.org, or you can go by the farmers market and look for our big red awning tent with a big hot spot circle on it. Or you can just reach out to OHSU, Healthy Oregon Project, and send us an email and say, you know, how do I get involved? We do have a volunteer coordinator, and again, this is an individual who her job is to identify folks who want to help us get the word out about this project. So
great.
If you want to participate and you'd like to encourage all of your friends to participate, please also reach out to us and send us an email or contact us via the website and let us know that you're interested in participating as a volunteer.
Great. And this really is kind of win-win research, not being funded by pharmaceuticals, information for the greater good of Oregon, information to empower the individual. So you've been listening to Light on Health on Coast Community Radio. I've been talking with Dr. Jackie Shannon about the Healthy Oregon Project, with Clatsop County being the pilot community that this will be kicked off in. So thank you, Jackie, for being on the show.
Yeah, and I'm glad this worked for us.
Me too. And for all of you listeners, I hope we've inspired you to take one tiny step forward towards your own radiant health. And a very special thank you to Dylan for making the magic work so I could actually phone in a guest. Now the world's our oyster.
Yes.
Have a great rest of your day, everyone, and we'll see you next month for Light on Health.
Thank you.
Thank you.